morning.
Good morning.
So, as I said, you might have noticed the Zendo is a little different than usual. And today we're going to do a ceremony called Sagaki or Sajiki. And this is a time when you'll notice the altar is on the opposite side of the room of the Buddha altar, because we are basically turning towards all that experiences itself to be outside of the realm of the Buddha, outside of the realm of light and peace and harmony and what we might call demons or hungry ghosts. Some years we've done this in the evening and we get together before we do the ceremony and draw pictures of what we imagine hungry ghosts look like. So hungry ghosts are beings that are really, really, really hungry and thirsty, but they have these tiny, tiny little necks and big bellies. So when they try and eat, they can't be nourished. They can't accept. Their bodies, their hearts, their minds cannot accept the nourishment that's present. So there's a kind of desperation or painful hunger. So I think some of us know something about that state. And that's what we turn towards today. That's what we turn towards, and we make offerings. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the ceremony in a minute. And then these lovely banners that Shinshu made are guardians, four guardians. And Buddhas. So, and mantram, these things that are in English lettering or whatever that's called, Roman lettering, anyway.
Manji.
They are mantram that we say. So the idea is that we have this space that is filled with the presence of the Buddha, the Tathagata Ambrosia King or Queen, Tathagata is Buddha, exquisitely hued body, Tathagata extensive body, Tathagata abundant treasures, Tathagata fearless, Deva King, all-seeing of the West, Deva King, prosperity of the South, Deva King, all-hearing of the North, Deva King, nation-preserver to the East. So the idea is that we have this space that we're in that makes it possible for us to turn towards that which is darkness. That we're in an environment in which that is possible. And that's really important for us to know. Zazen's like that. In Zazen, we sit down on the seat of Buddha and we face ourselves. Whatever's there, it's fine. We have the environment, we have the capacity to be there, because we are embraced by, supported by, touched by, knowing that which is most true about us and all beings. So this is a kind of creation, this is a mandala, so to speak, of all the different aspects that allow us to be completely present. And then we make offerings. You know, and we make sounds. I'll tell you about that in a minute. So this is the ceremony of awakening and nourishing all beings. And particularly nourishing that which feels it can't be nourished. Most of the time, I think, we ignore or try and don't want to see that, right? We don't want that one. But this ceremony teaches us exactly what we need to turn and face everything in our lives. This is what we need. We need to sit in the middle of an environment in which we feel supported and capable. We need to make offerings. We need to feel that sense of being in the midst of a mandala. We're talking here about fear and hatred and jealousy and greed. I mean, you know, all those really icky things that we don't want to. We feel take us over, make us quiver. We feel like we're facing them in the dark and we're puny. Perhaps we feel shame and even admitting that they're in, that they're there. Or we might say, well, I don't want that one. Or we might look at someone else and say, well, you know, they're not plagued by jealousy. Or, you know, they may be jealous, but they're not angry. Or, you know, like, oh, I don't want this one. I'm sure it would be easier if I had that one, right? That demon over there looks like a little pipsqueak compared to what I'm feeling. So with all these machinations that we go through to try and discount, avoid, turn away from what's before us. And then that shame or anger becomes a demon in and of itself, right? It's endless row of demons. And they multiply like rabbits. So the more we can encounter them directly with support, with being embedded in a mandala of support, the more we can simply allow them to be. We might think we have to vanquish them, right? To fight them down. But that just doesn't really work. We might think we need to get enlightened and then we won't have any. You know, we'll get somehow beyond the human condition. That's what we sometimes think enlightenment is. Like, oh, we're going to get beyond all this. We're not going to have any more of these inconvenient feelings. We might think that we can stride through life, you know, like, and they just fall away. But that's not really the way it works. The intention to wake up is something altogether different. It means bowing. It means including. It means becoming closer to the earth. It means being able to sit like Buddha did under the tree and have anything arise, anything coming up, and we're just there. It means quivering and knowing we can be there for that too. Just with the breath, just with the body, just with this, with a kind mind. That's the key, right? The kind mind. This takes a lot of courage. You know, I mean, these all look kind of cute, right? Some of them, or maybe a little disturbing, but not particularly threatening. But when we feel it, it feels threatening, right? Or it feels like, ugh, not that. But these beings are our teacher, too. They teach us courage and how to be curious, how to bow to what is with a kind of gentleness and sincerity and strength. We really discover what strength is. There's a story about Milarepa, and I've told this story before, but I really like it a lot, so bear with me if you've heard it before. So Milarepa, do you all know who Milarepa was? He was a great Tibetan, revered Tibetan saint, Milarepa. There's lots and lots of stories about Milarepa and his teacher Marpa. Marpa was really tough on Milarepa, and he was really dense in a lot of ways, so I think a lot of us have a kind of warm feeling towards Milarepa. Marpa once had Milarepa take a bunch of stones and put them someplace else. And then when Milarepa did that, he went to Marpa and said, "Okay, I've done it." And he said, Marpa said, "Okay, now put them all back again." It's like... So Milarepa was in a cave, and he was in retreat, and he went out of the cave to get firewood. And when he came back, there were five demons that had taken up residence in his cave. One was sitting on his bed. One was preaching, and others were listening. Some were going through his books, right? You can just imagine, like, an infestation of demons in your room, looking in your trash can, sitting on your bed, going through your drawers, whatever. So after Milarepa got over his shock, he decides that these must be local deities that are displeased with him for not having given offerings to the space. So it's not uncommon in many cultures who are close to the land to give offerings to the spirit of the place when you take up residence there. Very interesting to think about in terms of what's happening at Standing Rock right now. So he composes a song on the spot to these demons, thinking that they're local deities, and telling them how wonderful and beautiful their valley is. So he ends his song by saying, "Ye local demons, ghosts and gods, all friends of Milarepa, drink the nectar of kindness and compassion and then return to your abodes." So he's thinking he's going to give them a little sweets and they'll be happy and go away. But the demons are not impressed at all. They're like, "You're kidding." They stare at him balefully. Two of them advance on him, biting their lips and grinding their teeth. Third one came up behind Milarepa, shouting and laughing maliciously. So here's Milarepa. He thinks he's being a good guy. He comes home, thinks these are just local, you know, not bad dudes at all, but just kind of punks, right, that are unhappy with him because he didn't pay homage to them when he took up residence in their land. But, you know, so he's just going to give them some trick-or-treat candy and they're going to go away. No, they're just like serious. Like he's like, "Okay, these guys are serious." So then Milarepa tried a powerful incantation, reciting it forcefully. So the first one was a kind of appeasement. The second one is, right, "I've got my magic out. I've got my mojo out." And they still don't leave. Then with great compassion, he preached a dharma to them, thinking, "Surely, if I preach the Dharma, they'll be pacified, they'll be enlightened, and they'll go away." That didn't work either. They stayed. In the meantime, you can imagine, they're rifling through his stuff, they're, you know, pooping on the floor, you know, you don't know what they're doing in his space. And he's like at his wit's end. So finally, Milarepa realized, he says, Through the mercy of Marpa, my teacher, I have already fully realized that all beings and all phenomena are of one's own mind. The mind itself is a transparency of voidness. What, therefore, is the use of all this? How foolish I am to try and dispel these manifestations. In other words, these demons are of my own mind. All of these are, you know, if we can get that when we're in the midst of our fear or anger or whatever, this too is a part of my life. This too is me. I don't have to act on it. I don't have to believe it 100%. I don't need to get rid of it. So Milarepa sang his song of realization. Now this is a very long song that's very famous in the Tibetan tradition. It's very beautiful. Milarepa, what his response to this is to sing a song of realization. The last verse of this song is directed at the demons. And he says, "Ye gods and demons, ye ghosts and demons, enemies of the Dharma, I welcome you today. It is my pleasure to receive you. I pray you stay. Do not hasten to leave. We will discourse and play together. Although you would be gone, stay the night." Stay the night in the darkness, right? Stay through the darkness. At this, the demons fell into despair, swirled around like a whirlpool, merged into one and vanished. So, placating didn't work, powerful incantations didn't work, moving against the demons didn't work, even preaching the Dharma with great compassion didn't work. It was when Milarepa sang his song of realization, in other words, remembered the non-dual nature of this world, when he sang that song, then these demons vanished. Now the thing is, when you sing a song of realization, it can't be to get rid of anything, right? Because that realization is, this is just dynamic reality. This is a part of reality. I don't have to be freaked by this. This is a manifestation of reality right now. Okay. Jealousy, quivering, anger, hatred, jealousy. Okay. That's a part of my mind. That's a part of our reality. That's a part of what is. I can sing my song of realization, including all of that. I don't have to be pushed by it. So the demons were his great teachers, because he tried all this stuff until he came back to himself, until he came back and he remembered his teacher and he remembered the teachings. He'd been preaching the Dharma to them. But when he actually remembered what the Dharma was and sang it, the demons evaporated. So it's a kind of funny thing, because as long as you're like clinging on to, if I'm good, if I get it right, if I do this, all those feelings will vanish. It can't be like that. It has to be something far broader, like a mountain. You know, if we're a mountain, then various things can happen, even wildfires. Then the spring comes, you know, but you're just there. So patience, kindness, remembering, turning to our teachers in our lives, remembering that all of these things are potentially can call us to our deepest nature. Sitting zazen, listening deeply to others, listening deeply to ourselves. Carrying the question, what is the feel? What is the quality that my song of realization has in this moment? What helps me remember? in taking the path, walking the path, helps us recall that. We kind of often stumble over our own song of realization. Like, oh, you know, you're going around, going along, you don't know. Oof, there it is. So we don't call these states enemy. We remember that they're not different than who we are. We apply courage and gentleness and inclusivity without believing the story. You know? So there's a kind of honest engagement. In Zen, we say, this is it. No, this is it. It's like one of my teachers, she said, this is it? You mean just this? Like this? This really is it? Well, yes. This moment, this, you know, coming home from gathering firewood where the demons have taken up residence in your cave. All of the creatures of our imagination, all of the creatures of our hearts and minds, all of them can come and take up residence in our cave. And what do we do in response to them?